Time for this week's sustainability feature, which is now proudly brought to you by the Centre in African Energy Leadership, located inside Wits Business School, the first of its kind in Africa. And welcome back to Dr. Rod Crompton, Director of the Energy Leadership Centre. Rod, last week we touched on the integrated resource plan and the importance of the lowest cost solution at this stage for South Africa. Another debate has been raging, which was largely opened by government in what some have said looks like a bit of a populist response to the rise in the fuel price this year, that of deregulation. Now, let's perhaps just dial it back a bit first. And we know the petrol price is a mix of the actual fuel cost and the taxes and levies. But what does the price of petrol comprise of exactly in South Africa?
Well, it's a multi-layered sandwich with many, many slices. So it would take some time to go through it. But there's an import parity component, and then there are domestic costs, inland transport, wholesaling costs, retailing costs, and of course, taxes and levies.
And if we look at the decision taken in September to delay any increase in the fuel price, we saw yesterday the price of diesel rising by 48 cents a litre. And clearly that's disappointing from an inflation and consumption perspective. We had economists on the show saying that the mark-to-market actually showed a 23% cut in the prices was due. So obviously that decision to delay any increase in September has come back to bite us a little bit. What do you make of the debate that we're having at the moment? Because obviously scrapping some of those taxes on fuel would ease pressure on consumers on the one hand, but government would have to find the revenue on the other hand.
Yes, I think that's right. But you must distinguish between petrol and diesel. They are different price markets because we have global pricing affecting our local pricing. So the fix on the petrol price this month was to make up for the 23 odd cents a litre that it should have gone down for the previous month when the price didn't increase. Whereas diesel, because it's not regulated, and this is an important difference, diesel is deregulated and petrol is not. And this is one of the questions which a lot of people are asking, because you find diesel and petrol on the same service station forecourts. Mm. And from a regulatory point of view, the question is, what is the market failure that requires regulation? So diesel does not suffer from a market failure. It's deregulated. But petrol is regulated, so one would expect there to be a market failure in the supply somewhere of petrol. But no one seems to know what that market failure is.
Well, that was going to be my next question. It has been put to me by those obviously with vested interest in keeping the price regulated that infrastructure is one of those important components of the debate here. And the fact is that there's only one pipeline, there's one single buoy mooring to offload crude. And if we were to allow a deregulated market where each company was to bring in its own crude in its own tanker, that could result in higher prices.
Well, it could. I mean, markets are not perfect instruments. But, you know, given the high price of regulated fuels, what the government proposed in October, which was to put a price cap on 93-octane petrol, sounded like a very good idea, because that would allow competition to lower prices, but to protect consumers by keeping a price cap.
And that debate, I mean, it really kicked off last month, seems to be ongoing. What have you heard? Obviously, the Department of Energy is discussing this behind the scenes with players in the oil industry, removing that floor price for 93-octane petrol. You seem to think that it's a good idea.
Well, let's look at what it would offer. It would offer the possibility of price competition on the forecourts and lower prices for consumers who are hard-pressed by high petrol prices. It would also stop what is called octane wastage. There are a lot of people using 95-octane petrol where they don't really need to, and their cars would work perfectly well on 93-octane petrol, particularly in the inland markets. Where we are in Johannesburg, it's roughly 1.5 kilometers above sea level. The difference between 93 and 95 octane in most vehicles is no difference at all. It's just a wastage of octane and the wastage of tax of motorists' money. The other argument is that it would ease the pressure on the imports of 95 unleaded, which has to be imported because the local refineries can't produce enough of it. Mm. And the other argument, which is follows from that, is that the trade balance would be improved. I mean, we are importing expensive 95-octane petrol. We are, as consumers, many of us using it and wasting it when we don't need it. And on top of that, 95-octane also carries a 10 cent a litre demand side management levy imposed by government, which was intended to discourage use of 95. But, you know, these days it's less than 0.5% of the petrol price of 95. So altogether, this 93-octane deregulation of the floor price is, I think, a good idea. It would relieve pressure on the refiners, it would relieve pressure on motorists, and most importantly of all, intermediate inputs like coal, which are important in the economy and getting the economy going, bearing in mind we're in a recession and we've had very low economic growth for a long time, this would be a really nice way of trying to assist motorists and helping the economy at the same time.
Now, those are very convincing arguments. And I've looked at some R&B research that calculates that higher fuel prices are acting as quite a significant drag on consumption at the moment, equivalent to around 14 billion rand, which is comparable to 0.5% of disposable income or a 1.5% personal income tax hike in terms of how much it actually pulls out from consumers' back pockets at the end of the month. So that would certainly serve to stimulate some consumer demand as well. I suppose on the con side, and what we're seeing argued in the industry from those who are benefiting from a regulated price, is that competition might also lead to some job losses at the forecourt. Do you buy that argument?
South Africa has had an overpopulation of service stations for many years. And when the White Paper on Energy Policy was adopted in 1998, the decision of the government then was to deregulate. But one of the things they didn't want to do was to do it in a sudden way that would have dramatic impact. So the Petroleum Products Act was amended in 2003, which was supposed to or intended to gradually reduce the overpopulation of forecourts so that when deregulation happened, there wasn't a sudden adjustment. But what's happened, in fact, is that the regulators in the Department of Energy have been unable to withstand the political pressure from the forecourt people, and they've basically contributed to an exacerbated situation where we have way too many service station forecourts, and that's all coming at a cost to the economy. So yes, there are jobs there, but think of all the jobs that are being lost in the economy because fuel prices are too high. And that's really the bigger picture which people tend to lose sight of.
Absolutely. Those trade-offs that we touched on last week as well, focusing on jobs in one sector at the expense of so many more elsewhere in the broader economy. And to me, Rod, it certainly sounds like, rather than a question of market failure, perhaps a question of regulatory failure.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case. I mean, there are many elements in that multi-layered sandwich we talked about earlier which haven't been reviewed for a long time and which are really out of whack with current global trends. But the biggest question that has to be answered is, what is the market failure that requires petrol to be regulated but not diesel?
And I think that is the most important question. Now, where do we go from here? I think government's delayed the decision until January, as far as I'm aware.
Yes, I think government has gone about this consultation in a very curious and unusual way. In early October, they sent out a letter to various industry associations putting forward this idea of lowering the floor price or removing the floor price on 93 unleaded, and gave them about 2 weeks to comment, which is a pretty short time. And they received pressure, I believe, to extend the period of comment. And so it's been extended now until January, and the minister has announced that a decision will be made in January. But in the meantime, the retail sector is mobilizing and lobbying hard, I believe, against this idea. And this is one of the, you talked earlier of regulatory failure, this is one of the contradictions that in protecting service stations and small enterprises and jobs, the pendulum seems to have swung too far where they are now the most lucrative part of the value chain, and they are growing faster than any other part. And at the same time, as you know, any subsidizer, any beneficiary of a subsidy wants more and faster and sooner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we've got the beneficiaries of a regulated subsidy arguing for more. And arguing to keep it, and that's one of the problems that the country faces.
Well, that's why we need to open this debate up and allow the evidence and the facts to prevail as we try and pull South Africa back to an economy that makes decisions based on the evidence and the hard science. Adjunct Professor Rod Crompton, Director of the African Energy Leadership Centre at Wits Business School, with this week's sustainability feature brought to you by Wits, creating leaders for Africa's energy future.